those little readers. And it was really cool because, you know, I just remember those from the past. Here's what they were doing. They were using these books to help these children put letters together to form words. And what we need to remind ourselves of is that just like God, I mean, just like these kids are doing really slow, they're doing, you know what, the teacher is on the level of concepts, and the students are on the letter on the level of putting letters together to just form words. And we need to see this relationship we have with God, that while we're struggling just to put one foot in front of the other, and we're trying to live religious lives and righteous lives and do the right thing and be the right person and set the right example and make sure our family's all intact, we're trying to seek the blessing and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All of these things are, sometimes it's like you're literally just dealing with little bitty letters trying to make words, and you're not even sure what the sentence is. And God sees the whole thing. He's dealing with this incredible concept called a preferred future that he has for you. It's called his plan for your life. And it's cool how God is doing all that. And sometimes many of us can look back, and we've had moments where there were events that just kind of took place, and we didn't know why, and this happened, and this happened, and finally something happened, and we go, oh, that was it. Sometimes it's totally unexplained. Sometimes we'll never know at this side of heaven what God was doing with our lives when we just did this one little thing. It's really cool when that does happen, that somebody eventually comes to and knows you and says, you know what, you did this when I was just a third grader. You taught my Sunday school class, and I remember this, and boom, 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 and that's why I'm in the ministry. And you go, oh, come on, you know, I'm just doing my job. Of course you were doing your job. God's just doing his job. And he's ordering our life, and he wants us to be excited about it, and it's important that we understand this. Because too often we're consumed with the details of trying to keep our family together and have a great marriage and stay sexually pure and, you know, make sure that we're worshiping the Lord the right way. And we want the fullness of God. And while it seems like we're struggling because we're not exactly sure we're going right on the road we're supposed to, God's up there just paving the road for us. And if we don't remind ourselves of that, then we'll get caught in the struggle instead of reminding ourselves God has a preferred future for all of us. And it's important that we remind ourselves of that. Here's the thing. God is positioning you, if I can use this as that opening statement, for an unexplained life. Let's go there. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 14 through 16. And the Bible says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, light, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. God is positioning all of us to be a beacon, not just somebody, but a beacon in a world that desperately needs something divine. They've got normal, they've got usual, they've got casual, they need something divine. They're not going to ask for it. They don't know that they need that. They think everything's all together, but it's not, and we need to be a part of that. It's something that's not of this world. You know, if you flip through the channels, if you have cable, they have these the unexplained files of NASA, and it's all about, you know, this UFO stuff and junk like that, and it just cracks me up. But what really cracks me up is that, you know what, that wouldn't be on if there wasn't an audience for that show. That wouldn't be on there if some people were going, you know what, are there aliens? You know what? But the world is looking for something absolutely supernatural. And God says, you know what? You're it. I know you don't like to hear that. I know you and I don't want to stand out in the crowd because, you know, we just want to blend in. It's what we are made to be on the human part of us. But on the spiritual side, God says, oh, no. Nuh-uh. You're a city on a hill. You're a light that can be seen if you will let that light in. Instead of just being lit, we're going to put it on a stand to where it stands above it. I saw a commercial today that says at 10 miles, our eyes can see the flicker of a single candle. That amazes me. That's a long way. I think they said it was like 146 football fields. I didn't step it off. I'm just listening to the commercial. But it's amazing. And what God says about you and I is that we want to be that light. We need to be that light. This sounds like God's making me do something I'm uncomfortable with. It sounds like a demand or a command, doesn't it? But it's not. It's an invitation. It's an invitation. That's what he wants. He wants us to be it, and he wants us to be able to have this. It's divine potential is what we're talking about. It's the unexplained life, and I will get there in just a second. You know, it may shock you to know that our secular pursuits and our religious pursuits are not separate. They're the same. There's a lot of people that live out there, and they have their regular life, their jobs, their habits, their recreation, you know, their whatever, and then they have church. And they have separated. You know what? We are the ones that have separated those. God never did. God sees what you do secularly. And that means outside of this focus of church-specific relationships like this, coming to church, and what you do in church as one and the same. That's why this sermon hopefully is an extension of what we said this morning. The church doesn't just exist on Sundays and Sunday nights and Wednesdays. It's every day, everywhere we go, we are the church. Every one of those 350 kids that were here the other night, if they're saved, then they're going to their campuses and they're going to be a light on a hill, and they're going to, city on a hill, and they're going to be a light to the world. And that's what we need to understand and accept the invitation instead of the pressure. It's not pressure. We just need to understand those things. You know what? Where you go on TV, you're still in church. You know, and God says, listen, there's nothing separate about that. Sometimes there are people that go off in sin and they go, you know what? I deserve this. I'm just going to kind of, I've been good for a long time. You ever done, you do it on a diet all the time. You know, I've been good for a long time. I just need to splurge a little bit. You know, some of you do that shopping. Well, can I just tell you, that doesn't work in the Christian world. We don't go and have vacations from Christianity. Matter of fact, we're always on the job. Now, that sounds like pressure, too. But it's an invitation to be where God really wants us to be, because it's in the marketplace, whether it's in their neighborhood, if it's at the ball game, whether you're driving down the road, and it's in your family, we're always on. And there shouldn't be a pressure. That should be a reminder that, yeah, right, I didn't leave the church, I am the church. And I have this life that God wants me to live. So here's what we want to do. What does this have to do with me, and how does this apply to me? He says this, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Most of us want to be those, and it used to be called the secret agent Christian. We want to be Christian in detail and in personality and in practice, but we just don't want anybody to know about it. We want to be a Christian when it's convenient, but we don't want to be a Christian all the time. We don't want to have to go to school or work and be a Christian. Now, I know that you and I understand what I'm saying here. Those words sound just like they don't even make sense, but what I'm talking about is that most people have adopted this thought that I'm supposed to be churchy when I go to work. I'm supposed to be churchy when I go to school. I'm supposed to be churchy when I talk to my neighbor. I'm supposed to be spitting scripture and always trying to lead them to Christ. No, you're just supposed to be the church. What they need to see is your light shine and that you're a city on the hill, and not because you know all the verses. You know, remember that statement? People really need to know how much you care about them before they need to know how much you know. So let's get down to brass tacks and let's talk about this, because it's not influence versus position. It's about who we are in Christ and the things that we need to have. That unexplainable life is just a title, but here it is. And you'll know why I called it the unexplainable life here in just a second. The first one is this. What they are looking for is peace, and what is hard to explain is the peace that we have as Christians. It is hard to communicate, and it's hard to tell somebody how you feel when you really feel the peace of God. You know, people know what it is to have a good night's rest. People know what it is to, you know, the pressure's gone. The project is complete. Well, I'm glad it's over. The test is over. You know, the midterms are gone. Everybody knows what that is. But we're talking about peace. Peace not just when everything's fine and calm, but I mean peace when the storm is raging. We just talked about that. How cool is it that God gives you peace in that? And when these people see that, they don't know what to do with that, because they've spent a lot of time and money trying to get there. They've even gone down the chemically induced route trying to find peace, and they can't find it. Because sooner or later, they're going to wake up, and the drugs are going to wear off. And they're trying to find something. It's genuine peace. And you remember what I said this morning? When you have peace like that, it causes them to be curious, sometimes even suspicious of what you got. You know, I told you, I know I've told you this before, but it was When I was at Troy State University, I was walking across campus. I just walked right out of my flip-flops because it was those hippie days, you know. I was going to school and walked right out of the flip-flop. So I turned around to go get my flip-flop, and there was this girl that was in our biology class. And I'm looking at my flip-flop and fixing to grab it, and she's looking at me. And I was about to reach down and get it, and she goes, "Why are you always so happy? You're just always smiling." And I knew what she was thinking. What are you on? And it was that moment. I didn't know what to do. But I just kind of muddled out. I said, you know, I love Jesus. And he goes everywhere I go. And he makes me happy. And I thought, that's just kind of so stupid. You know, you get away from that, you're going, why didn't I go? Can I just tell you about this thing called the Roman Roadmap? They had sandals. I got flip-flops, you know what I mean? I was thinking I should have been so dynamic so that the Pentecostal evangel would have called me and said, please share this with me. But it didn't happen. But what was so funny about that was she said, that's so cool, and just walked on. You know, see, all we got to do is be the church. It's an unexplained life. At that moment, I really didn't know what to say. I didn't know what the words were, but, you know, evidently it was something that God helped me do. Here's what they ask. How can you sit there and take it? Doesn't that scare you to death? Don't you just hate them? Aren't you worried? What are you going to do about this? How do you sleep at night? Are you always this calm? They may not say it, but those are the things that they see, and that's the things displayed. Here's what John said in his scripture, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, quoting Jesus, and my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. They have found out that the world is offering peace, and it is a sham. It is nothing but just show and tell. It's smoke and mirrors. And they've seen through that, and that's why they don't trust you either. Because they think your peace is just as fake as all the other peace that they've had. A kid who has gone through a family crisis and divorce and a single mom situation and abandonment, do you think they really want to grow up and get married? That's been modeled for them that this thing is not going to work. They do not trust it. And it's certainly not encouraged or endorsed. There's a lot of other options. This world thinks peace always comes with a hook in it. There's something hidden, and they don't trust it. And I don't blame them, but you and I understand that. Why? Because everybody wants a great future. They want peace. You know what they call it? They call it happiness. I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. And that's why they're willing to get drunk, so that they can be happy. And so they can celebrate. And have, for that moment, they have escaped the world. But our peace continues through whatever the world's throwing at us. You can't buy that, guys. And there was a man in the New Testament that saw what was going on with the apostles when they were laying hands on people and they were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll give you money to show me how to do that. They were willing to pay for it. They couldn't have it. Well, that's why we need to have this circumstance. You know what? When everything isn't okay, we need to understand that God's in control. And when he is in control, everything is going to be okay. And when they see that in you, it draws them like a magnet. It's the unexplained life that they don't understand because they've never seen it and they experience it themselves. So let's make sure we entertain that. The second thing is this, healthy relationships. Not only a peace, but what behind that you have healthy relationships. I mean, there's good things going on with the people that you are related to. They're disillusioned out there and they're dysfunctional. And it's getting worse by the minute. And I don't care. Listen, we can debate all of you go down the race right, you know, the route and all this other stuff. And you can talk about black versus white or green versus purple. I don't care. It's not about, you know, what the statistics are. The problem is America's in trouble when it comes to modeling healthy relationships. And it goes all the way to the highest office in the land. And it goes all the way into the ministry. It goes all the way into everything else. When I hear about a teacher having relationships, sexual relationships, with a kid in school, I just want to go beat them up. I don't care who they are. That just drives me nuts. How do you go there? How do you do that? There's nothing healthy about that. So let's talk about ours. Happy and successful relationships are now the exception. So you know what? I don't mean it this way. I wish it was the norm. I wish we just fit in there. I wish we were back at the Dick and Jane days. Because back then, Harry and Ozzie had it together. Back then, Leave It to Beaver, all he had to do was just kind of work his way out of a little dilemma. He wasn't worried about sexually transmitted diseases. But today, it's the exception. Hey, can I just tell you that the things that are weird stand out a little bit more than the things that are normal? Although we wish it was normal, now we have the opportunity for our, if you will, weirdness, our exception to the rule, to be a light in a dark world and a city on a hill. So don't forsake these healthy relationships, these good relationships that we have, because they are so, so important. Everywhere they look, it's a sham. Everywhere they look, there's distrust and they don't know what to do. So how are the key relationships in your life? Hey, listen, kids, how's it with your parents? Hey, how's it with your spouse? How's it with your grandkids? How's it with your friends and neighbors? You know what? I mean, you're not being graded by yourself. You're being graded on the curve called the world. You know, the answer is not in you. The answer is in what they think. I'm sorry. I appreciate all that you're doing. But the true answer is what they think and what they see and not what you know. And listen, I'm not trying to devalue everything you're doing for your family. I hope you're doing some type of time where you have devotion. We used to have that family altar. No, I shouldn't say we. I never did that. I didn't grow up in a family that you would meet at night and they'd pull a Bible that was heavier than that out, you know, and you could hear it falling apart and everybody would, you know, read a scripture and then you pray. How many of you did that? Did it a little bit? Yeah, you know, it was great. It was awesome. But that's usually not where it goes nowadays. But it is the exception. And now listen, how many people are peeking through the window to see if you're reading your Bible with your family? How many are peeking through the window and seeing if you're praying with your kid at night? If they are, arrest them. But the deal is that God is looking. And listen, you know what? I remember that, you know, when you're little, it's kind of cool until a certain age, and then, you know, you get treated like adults, and that should never wear off. There should always be healthy relationships going where they're in. What about your marriage, your relationship with your kids? If you're single, what about the area of purity? I want every one of your students to look at me. You know what? It's still okay to be a virgin. It's still okay. I know the world says you're weird, you're unexperienced, and you're anything but normal, and something's wrong with you. But with God, God says, listen, save yourself until I open up this preferred future I have for you, because you're trying to put little letters together to form words, and God has concepts, because I'm going to tell you, wherever she is or wherever he is, God is working on them to make them just right for when you meet them at the right time, so that you can have a wonderful marriage and you can have physical relationships that God says, I am going to bless beyond imagination. It's about time we quit worrying about that and putting this pressure on our kids to have to just fit in. Because we didn't do, and when I say we, I'm talking about us, I'm talking about the world. So the fit in thing is participate in all of this. The weird thing is that the normal thing is to go. The weird thing is to not. When you deny going to that party, you know there's going to be alcohol. Listen, it's not just your parents. It's God. He put that unrest in your life for that. And hey, adults, we got our issues too, don't we? We got our issues too, don't we? We got to make sure that our kids see us doing the right thing, that they see us on our knees, that they see us praying. You know, that we pay in our bills, that we don't cheat on our taxes, that we do the right thing. It's so imperative that we do that. Here's what Jesus did. Jesus loved those who needed him. He loved being with them. Remember Jesus and Zacchaeus? He said, oh, no, today we're going to your house. Remember the woman caught in adultery? Instead of throwing the rock, he made all the rock throwers go away, and he says, I don't condemn you either. Now go and sin no more. Remember the woman at the well? He said, you're right, and the person you're living with right now isn't even your husband. He didn't mind being with them. I wrote this down. While we have shunned the world, Jesus managed to embrace the world, yet he remained sinless. You can have friends. You can have people that cuss up a storm, that live a horrible life, don't care who they sleep with next, and still be sinless. But what you're going to also be is light to a dark world in a city on a hill. And it's a pretty cool thing. You know what? When I was little, I loved going to my friend's house who had cool parents. Who, you know, when you went over there, it was just kind of nice to be there. And there wasn't this tension. I remember Rocky Neeson, the first night I spent the night at his house, seventh grade. I'm going to tell you what, about 45 minutes into that, I called my mom and said, come and get me. His dad was mad at Rocky about something, and he stormed in there, and it just freaked me out. Scared me out to death. I said, I want to get out of here. And I learned later that, you know, Mr. Neeson was just a super guy. But my first impression was, oh, my goodness, I am getting out of here. I do not want to spend the night at this house. And I was 7 years old, which meant I was a man. But I was scared to death. We need to have more of those. Here's the third thing, character. You will be a light on a hill, a light to this world in a city on the hill, if we will have peace in our life, if we will have healthy relationships, and if we have character. People don't really know what character is anymore because it's not being modeled a whole lot. And it keeps moving. It keeps moving around. Depends on what, you know, it really depends on what the definition of is. We get to, the older generation got that one. We get to redefine what we think where the boundaries are. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. The boundaries have only been drawn one time and they haven't moved since. If you want to go back and say the Ten Commandments, that's pretty good. You know, the first written word that God ever gave us, he wrote it with his own finger, and he gave it to Moses, and he shared it with the nation of Israel, and it was called the Ten Commandments. And it's a pretty cool document, and we need to read it a lot more. But here's the thing. For the Christian, character involves doing what is right and what is defined and right and what God wants us to do, regardless of the cost. See, that's where character is tested. When we know that we could bend the rules a little bit, we could move the lines a little bit, we can compromise just a little bit, and we're not going to be in trouble, but you know what? The problem is there's always going to be a cost. You know, we like to get close to the fire, we just don't want to get burned. But I got to tell you, you get too close to the fire, you are going to get burned. And the whole time you're getting close to that, your body's sending you signals. It's getting pretty hot here. Ooh, I'm breaking out in a sweat. Well, you know, when we start doing that spiritually, God is sending you signals. You're going the wrong way. Don't tell that joke. You know it's got a bad ending. Don't talk about those people like that. Don't gossip about that person. We have all these things, and when we consistently have character, we become that light. And you know what? Here's the cool thing. We give somebody permission to do the same thing we're doing. Isn't it cool that even though you would love to be an example by the supreme things that you do, the big outstanding stuff. Everybody in here wants to be adored. Everybody in here wants to be worshipped. I mean, come on, we all have those moments when we want to be caught doing just something dynamic, you know, whether it's the superhero syndrome or whatever. You know, we've all had those moments. Well, isn't it cool that when you get caught doing right, somebody recognizes that and say, you know what, I just want you to know, that was pretty cool. You could have done this, that, and the other, but you didn't. Remember when you've told all your life, you know, that it takes a real man to walk away from a fight? Well, I got to tell you what, it's more fun to be in it, especially when you're really mad about something. That's where the real gratification comes. There's really no gratification, and that's the problem with doing character. You know what? It's really hard to say no. It's really hard to disagree. It's really hard to say, I'm not going to do it. And you know what? Here's the other thing. It's easy to do that. In principle, it's hard in application because most of the time your character is going to be caught on videotape from heaven and not here. It's going to be what you do in private, and it's going to be what you do in secret, and it's going to be what you do in the dark, and nobody else. Aren't you just a little freaked out anymore? There's a camera everywhere. I mean, there's a camera everywhere. Every stop, you know, there's red lights, those little things up there. What do you think that is? That's them going, I am watching you. And I'm just thinking, where do you go? Everybody has a phone. And the minute you start being weird or whatever, they're going to pull the phone out and go, I got to catch this on video. That's why you never used to see tornadoes. Now they chase them for crying out loud. It's amazing. All these things that happen. Well, guess what? Your character is constantly being videoed. Now that there again shouldn't be a pressure thing. It should be go, okay, God, remind me that I'm always the church. And my character is always on duty. And I need to be the right thing. Here are two things two obstacles to character. The first one is this, shortcuts. When you could just take a shortcut to get to where you want to go. Instead of going the long way, the preferred way, the right way, there's shortcuts. You know what? If you want a relationship, you could compromise. I'm talking about the teenagers. You know, you could compromise sexually. You know what? Yeah, you can get someone to spend time with you. You can get somebody to do something that you don't want to do. If you want to compromise, you want a shortcut and say, you know what? I just want somebody to like me. You know, there's ways in business that, you know, you can tell somebody, give somebody some preferential treatment that isn't right, and it's not what you're supposed to do, because you know what? There's a bid out there, but you have somebody picked out that you would like to have that bid. So you just kind of grease the wheels, if you were, the gears, so that it kind of goes that direction. You know, it's called a shortcut. And what it's also called is compromising your character. And I know it's difficult, but we got to do it. You know what? When we deal with each other, we can't take shortcuts. And it is tough sometimes to have to face reality, but that's what we got to do. The other thing is this: fear of our peers. Afraid of what other people will think will absolutely sometimes just really ambush your character. It's when you're in that group setting and everybody starts going, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? Or whatever, you know, and you feel sucked into this vacuum of, you know, accommodation. And you just feel like you need to just join what's going on. Now, this wasn't a bad thing, but I'll never forget the first time I really went to a prayer meeting. It was at Teddy Sarton's church. And that was one of those churches where the women sat over here, the men had it sat over here, and they had an amen corner. And I didn't know that they had prayer before the church, so all the men went outside, and we formed a circle, and we said, okay, let's pray. And so everybody would sit there, and finally, you know, I mean, this one guy goes, okay, guys, what do we need to pray for? And this guy starts right over here, and he says, hey, just remember me and my family. I'm going, okay. And the next guy goes, just remember me and my family. Next guy, just remember me and my family. I'm going, what is this? Like, they've trained each other to put this? Came around to me, and I go, just remember me and my family. Man, I did not want to be weird, and I didn't know what. It was the first time I ever been there. I just jumped right in on it, you know. They said, okay, let's pray. And I thought we were going to pray for just me and my family. And these guys start going, dear God, like he's deaf. And they're screaming. I'm going, we're in the parking lot holding hands. Isn't that bad enough? I'm holding hands with two guys I've never met before. And, you know, and we're screaming to heaven. It was the weirdest thing ever. Next thing you know, I find myself screaming to heaven because it's just what they were doing. Now, that may have been a good thing. It may have been a positive thing in the moment. But there was nothing about my heart doing that. I was just sucked into the vacuum. It's so easy to do that because your peers have created what you want instead of you listening to what God says, I want. I wrote this down. There's a difference between sporadic character and consistent character. If you're hit and miss on your character, you have missed it. The other thing is this. There is a difference between selective character and continual character. We want to have complete integrity in this area, you know, but over here, we're willing to give and take a little bit. No, it's inconsistency, and it confuses people, and we can't do that. Here's what prayers that we need to be praying. It's right here in the scriptures because we don't hear them a whole lot. Father, let my light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Teenagers, I'm going to say this for everybody, but you need to hear this because if you're not careful, you'll read it this way. Let your light so shine before men that they may see my good works. But God said, no, your good deeds. He's talking about what God is doing in your life. You don't have to be anything but who you are. You don't have to be super Christian. All you got to do is just be who you are. Love your Lord Jesus Christ. And there's going to be times when you're at Engage and there's 350 other people from your community where you can just go crazy. You can be whoever you want. There's times you're going to be at youth camp, or there's other times you're going to be at youth convention, and it's going to be really convenient. There's other times like last Sunday night when we're just praying like crazy down here. We didn't get out of here until 8-something. Don't worry, we're not going to be here till 8-something. That's so that you'll listen to the rest of my sermon. But you know, there's times like that, but there's other times when you're at school and somebody is being bullied, and you tend to step in the middle of it. And you know what? I don't know how they think, because everybody has a little image of how that looks. But you know what? God honors when you do the right thing. Because peer pressure will take you to a different place. Our prayers usually are, bless me, protect me, provide for me. And God says, you know what? I'd like a little unselfishness. Let me finish with this comment. As you work diligently to find and keep peace, as your light, if you fight with all of your might to retain healthy relationships, and as you struggle to do right when everybody encourages you to compromise your character, just remember, God is at work implementing his greater plan. it seems like in the moment I've got to keep my character intact and I have to be integritous right now. And it seems like my healthy relationship, I got to take one for the team right now. And it seems like that peace is hard to find, but I'm going to struggle for it. That's because we're seeing all these things there. But God's up there putting it all together. And he's forming this incredible plan. And you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it at all. So make sure that you get it. Here's the last thing you need to hear. You cannot do this without God's help. God is the one who provides the peace. God is the one that gives us those healthy relationships. You know what? Why don't we start bragging on the people that we love and we care about? You know? And that character, let it be on video all at once. You know what? Work late and let them roll the tape. You know what we're fixing to do here? We're fixing to put video cameras at this church because we just want to make sure somebody doesn't do a Gary Warren to us. Gary, bless his heart. Had two trucks stolen, all his other stuff. And he didn't get a chance to shoot them. But it wasn't on video. You know what Gary did? He said, I'm going to put up a video soon. You know what? We do things that just make common sense to us here in the world. Why don't they make common sense to our Christian lives? Why don't I set up a system that God will run that helps me do the right thing? And why do I avoid it? Why do I put it off? What am I waiting on? We'll do it now. Amen. Worship team, come on. I'm going to ask as many of you that will. Oh, you know where that one's going, don't you? Altar time. I'm going to ask you tonight to do a couple things. You know, if you have peace, if you have healthy relationships, your character's intact, well, good for you. But don't sit on it tonight. I want you to come to this altar and defend it because it is fixing to have an attack. Because you have an attack every day. Satan hates what you have. It's called Jesus Christ. He hates that peace that you have. He wants your world to crumble. He hates those relationships, so he'll do anything he can to discredit the people in your life and cause dysfunction. He hates the fact that you have character because he doesn't want you to have character. He wants you to go down in flames. Well, tonight, before it happens, come and prevent it. But if your peace is something that has eluded you lately, come and find it at this altar. If your relationships need to be better and you find yourself finding more fault than good, then you know what? Come and say, God, I am sorry. My attitude needs to change. I need to see the people that I love, the people that I work with, the people that I go to church with, as their gifts into my life. And if your character is a little edgy, then shore up the boundaries tonight. Say, God, I used to remember exactly where they were. And you know what? I want to do everything in my power as a pastor to help our teenagers. And it's not because they're helpless, but they need to be supported. They need every ounce of support they can get. So if nothing else, you come and you pray for our kids, okay? I want you to stand, as many of you can. We're only going to sing one song, but I want you to flood this altar. I want you to just cry out to God. I want you to plead that God will give us that unexplained life, that when we leave as a church tonight, there will be times when we are questioned about what's going on, that they don't understand the way that we live our life. It's normal to fudge a little bit. It's normal to cheat on a test. It's normal to get the advantage. It's normal to take advantage. It's normal to have a bad attitude. It's normal to be disgruntled. It's normal to be angry. It's normal to be upset. Well, we're breaking the norm tonight. We're going to cry out to the God of this universe and ask Him all of His might to help us with these things. We love Him with all of our heart. It all starts with Jesus, and it all ends with God helping us retain all of these things in our life. Oh, God, give us that peace. God, give us all of those things that we're praying for tonight, right now, Lord, in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise Your name, O God. Look at it. us. People will lie about us. People will say things that aren't true. People will try to come between us and who you are. People will try to get us to fail. They will try to give us to give up. They will try to tell us that it's not worth it. They will try to put pressure on us, oh God. Tonight, we pray to cause us to be strong, oh God. At the moment of truth, help us to step through with great integrity, with impeccable character, oh God, that comes only from God alone. In that moment, that quiet moment, when we are being videoed by heaven, Lord, let it be that we did the right thing and continue to do the right thing, oh God. Help us to be people that are righteous. We are people that have the right to do the right thing in the name of God. Remember, as you walk out of this place, you are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill. You know who you are? You're the church. You're the church. You don't have to go out there to prove anything to me. You don't have to go out there to prove anything to anybody else. You just be the church. We have created pressure. We have created obligation. We've created good works based on fear that I'm going to get caught. No. The church, man, the church is a freedom moment. It's not confining. So let's go out there. Light of the world, city on a hill, the church. Amen. Father, I pray, oh God, that you'll dismiss us tonight. You'll revisit with us several times before we even go to bed. Just reminding us of how much you love us. God, all of this feels like marching orders, except for one thing. And that is that we do it because of how much we love you. Because of what you've done in us. And God, we just can't wait to leave this place and be a light and be a city on display. Bless everyone here, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you guys for a great day at our church. Have a great week. Amen. See you Wednesday.